Alan Purvis Smith stars in Gordon Pengilly's Bailey's Way. Episode 1, Simply Judy.
Start at the bottom and work your way up. Blood red high-heeled shoes, black fishnet stockings, a licorice leather skirt, candy striped top, big orange wig, lipstick to go with the shoes, purple eyeshadow to go with the purple night, brown eyes, those are mine. I'm Constable Tanis Bailey, undercover busting Johns down on 10th Street in front of Calgary's National Hotel. Now, rookies get all the lousy assignments. I was told to expect that. Start at the bottom and work your way up. Right. So far, I look like a clown.
Hi, Dennis. How's it going?
That's Judy.
Hi, Judy.
She's just a kid. She's always stoned. She makes me so sad I could weep.
I like your skirt, Dennis.
I'd love to get her out of the life, but I have to be careful about having two agendas, and there's my orders about saving souls. Have to try, though. It's in my nature.
What color's your hair, Tanis? What do they call that?
I don't know. Orange Crush.
Do they?
I just made that up, Judy.
Orange Crush. I like that.
After the Jack makes his rounds, I'll try to talk to her. The Jack's the local pimp. Judy's his newest strawberry. He's not what I expected in a pimp, but then nothing is what I expected. This is my last night out here, thank God.
Good evening, ladies.
And speak of the devil.
What'd you say your name was?
It's Tanis.
Does Tanis play tennis?
Sorry, not my racket.
Not my racket, that's quick. You're just passing through on your way to the coast. Did I hear you right, Tanis?
Crack it on, zoom.
What's wrong with Calgary? Fresh air, pretty river, an hour's drive to the mountains, safe city, clean city, friendly.
Where is this fascinating conversation leading to?
I like you, Tanis. You cheer me up.
He suspects I'm a cop. I know he does. I can feel it.
Here comes the guy again, Jack. There's his car up there at the lights. What should I do?
Let him see your face, then back off.
What's going on? What guy?
None of your business, love.
I know the guy they're talking about. He's dated Judy on 3 consecutive nights. He's got a mug like Walter Matthau, but not as funny. Deep, sad eyes, blue lips. I'll see if I can change his inclination for urchins. That's what the badge is for.
I'll break him this time.
Excuse me, Tanis.
Don't push me.
Are you the man who calls?
Let's go for a little drive.
Is Judy all right?
She says hello. Did you bring me something?
It's in the trunk.
Drive on, good sir.
Too weird.
What happened? You tell me. What's in the trunk of the car?
That old man...
Never mind, nothing. Listen, Judy, I've been meaning to talk to you. Like... Where do you come from? How did you get turned out?
My brain.
Judy!
I wouldn't have to be a very different person to lure that parasitic Brit into a back alley and punch his lights out.
Nice shot.
That's Detective Raymond Donaldson. Ray was my hand-to-hand combat instructor at the police academy.
Nice shot.
We had a fling which nobody knows about.
Nice shot.
I don't know what happened. It just didn't work out, but we still get along okay.
Yes.
Well, most of the time.
Jeez, nice shot, Ace.
He calls me Ace. After Ace Bailey, the hockey player. Donaldson loves sports, especially full contact kind. He's 6'4" and gorgeous.
Too bad.
There went my concentration.
At least I get a shot.
We're up at Caruso's Steak and Pizza Street, our favorite hangout. It's noon the next day. I start back in uniform in an hour. I didn't see Judy or the Jack again. My surveillance picked. Duty was over.
Damn it.
Donaldson's a good cop, but he's not much of a pool player.
Bailey, you're late.
It's 1 o'clock, sir.
Look closer.
1:01.
Go punch in. Inglewood Station.
Able man. Some people's parents, huh? What if he would have been born a girl? Unable man? He wears lumberjack shirts, he votes reform. Okay, he's a good cop, but the macho thing gets a bit hard to take.
Okay, listen up, everyone. Missing person. Caretaker at Ramsey Elementary School. Russell Rutledge. He didn't go into work and can't be reached at home. He has a bad heart and the principal's worried. Bailey, you.
What's my directive, sir?
Go knock on his door. Move it!
It's moving.
And don't forget to report in.
No, sir. I went to Ramsey in grade 6. I was always in the principal's office. A chance to redeem myself. Or embarrass myself. And maybe I can do both at the same time. Oh, goody.
I
give it 5 years, and if I don't make full detective homicide by then, I'll quit. I'm serious. They say the city is growing by leaps and bounds and getting more dangerous by the year. Great! Hurry up! I want to do important work. I want some real... Oops, red light.
Sorry!
Pay attention, Tess. Man, what a dump. Caretakers get paid a good salary. You can't be impoverished.
Mr. Rutledge? This is the police. Are you in there, sir?
Yes? Constable Bailey.
Sorry to bother you, ma'am, but I'm looking for Russell Rutledge, the man next door to you in apartment 18.
Oh? Is there something the matter? Hush, baby.
When was the last time you saw him?
The night before last, I guess, about 9 o'clock.
Was there anything different when you saw him the other night? Anything out of the ordinary?
Out of the ordinary? Well, maybe.
Hush, baby.
He was carrying a gym bag.
So? Maybe he was just going to work out.
Mr. Rutledge is a very big man around the middle. A very big man. He weighs 300 pounds as an ounce. I don't think working out is one of his favorite pastimes.
Oh, thanks for your time, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Hush, baby.
Put a muzzle on it. Mr. Rutledge? What now, brown cow? Break down the door? Call the fire department? I was an Air Force brat, lived all over the place. No close friends, lots of time on my hands to play with my pocket knife. Open wide, Mr. Locke. Say,
Mr. Rutledge? Police here? Anyone home?
Bachelor suite. Tidy. Everything in its place. A meager existence. Well, the man's pretty frugal, all right. Except for his books. Lots of books. But no Mr. Rutledge. Well, this is kind of interesting, though. There's a picture recently gone from the wall, a rectangle of unfaded paint, 8x10, photo size. Like the man. Gone with the man, maybe. So what do you call the visible place where a picture used to hang? The absence of picture? The anti-picture? What's to lose, eh? Hello?
Is the fat man there?
Who is this?
I just want to know if the fat man's okay or not.
Why wouldn't he be? Hello? How do I know that voice? Never rains, but it pours. Bailey here, over. To the principal's office, the bearer of news. And the guard splitting their sides.
Dead? Are you sure?
Yes, Mrs. Tetley, I'm very sorry. He was found at the bottom of the river in his car, below that parking lot across from the zoo. I don't know anything else. He's at the coroner's.
Poor Mr. Rutledge.
Did you know him very well?
I don't think anyone knew him well, officer. As far as I know, he had no close friends or family. He was being forced to retire this year because of his heart, and I always believed, this is conjecture, of course, that there was a tragedy of some sort in his past from which he never recovered.
Do you think he killed himself?
I'm extremely intuitive, officer. I can actually see auras sometimes. Russell's aura was very gray.
When was the last time you actually saw him, Mrs. Tetley?
Yesterday, 4 o'clock. He was coming out of the sports equipment room.
Anything different? Anything strange?
He was carrying a baseball bat. That struck me as a little odd.
Not a ball player, huh?
I hardly think so. Will there be anything else, officer?
Well, a little off topic, but does the name Tanis Bailey ring any bells?
Tanis Bailey? Terrible Tanis Bailey!
Based on it. My first death. I feel excited. I want to see the body. Is that ghoulish of me? Well, maybe it was murder. Well, don't get ahead of yourself, Tanis, and don't gag.
Who's the detective on this case?
I don't know yet, Doctor.
You shouldn't be doing this, you know. You're out of your bounds. We could both get into trouble.
One Russell Rutledge.
Hey, it's him.
It's who?
Walter Matthau.
It does look a little like him. Deadpan, har-har.
What are you calling it?
DVD, Death by Drowning. He was still buckled up when they pulled him out.
No cuts or bruises? No signs of struggle?
Negative.
He had a bad heart.
I can get that out, but that isn't what killed him. He drowned. And if a suicide... then he's one for the books under AU, Accidental Unknown. Maybe he fell asleep at the wheel.
I don't think so.
What makes you say that?
I'm free associating.
Ooh, big word for a uniform.
Big words go with big ideas. And I didn't even G-A-G.
Get out of here.
Judy, the Jack, Russell Rutledge. What do I have here? What happened last night? And what was in the trunk of that car? Hello?
You're here about Rutledge, right?
Oh, boy, that was fast. Just cleaned out. Where's all the stuff gone to?
It's down in the basement storage. There wasn't that much of it.
How well did you know him?
He paid his rent in time and otherwise kept to himself. Frankly, I thought...
Why?
I don't know. What do you call it? This whole demeanor.
That place up there on the wall where that picture used to be, do you know what it was?
Nope.
Can you show me where his stuff is?
Sure. How many women do they have in the police force in Calgary now?
Including the chief, you mean? A man's whole life in a few cardboard boxes. No suicide note, no key to his relationship with Judy and the Jack. A Bible. An obituary. Our Kathleen Mary McLean went to be with the Lord on August 21st, 1961, and will be sadly missed by her parents, John and Betty, and her brother William. Kathleen, who was only 18 years old, was a vivacious personality who embraced life to the fullest and loved it. Those wishing to pay their respects can do so at the Chapel of Bells, Walnut, New Brunswick, on August 24th at 1 o'clock. Kathleen Mary McLean.
Bailey!
Yes, sir?
Get in here.
Yes, sir?
What did they teach you at the academy about reporting in, Constable?
To report in every hour, sir.
Why?
Because an unreported officer might be assumed in some kind of trouble, sir.
Have you been in some kind of trouble?
I lost track of time, sir.
What doing?
Investigating into the disappearance and death of one Russell Rutledge, sir.
Did you say investigating?
Well,
Task is not investigate. It's the detective's task to investigate. It's the constable's task to report. Does that go over your head, Bailey?
It won't happen again, sir.
Detective Donaldson is investigating into the death of Rutledge. He'll be asking you to enlighten him. And once you've done that, then you're off the case.
Yes, sir.
You're on playground patrol until you hear otherwise.
Yes, sir.
Get out of here.
Yes, sir.
He has a moose head on his wall. The old red light district back at the turn of the century used to be down where the zoo is now. Did you know that, Donaldson?
So does Judy. What do you really know about her?
Not much.
Where she's from, went to school?
She's really hard to talk to, Ray. She's stoned all the time. She can barely even read. I'm sure she's dyslexic. She's small townish to me. I don't know.
Maybe Rutledge and this Judy were related somehow.
It's crossed my mind. And by the way, Donaldson, her name is Judy, not this Judy. That's very demeaning.
Beg your pardon.
So, the Jack climbs into the car with Rutledge and they go away together. Later on, the car drives into the river off the parking lot across from the zoo and Rutledge drowns. No signs of struggle, no scrawny pimp. What happened?
He killed himself.
How do you know?
You know he didn't.
I don't know yet.
You just want it to be a murder.
I do not.
Liar.
Hey, there's Judy. She's getting out of that truck over there. God, I hope she doesn't recognize me. You do the talking.
Liar.
Shut up.
Hey, I'm looking for the Jack. Know where he is tonight?
No.
Are you sure?
Why?
I owe him some money.
Give it to me, I'll pass it on.
What, do I look like an idiot?
Yeah, you do a little bit. I'm saying I don't know where he is. How many languages should I try? That moves, get lost, I'm working.
Small townish, huh?
She's a good actress. She's fluttering like a leaf inside. Maybe we should go back and pull her in. Get tough on her. Make her talk about Rutledge. Scare the living hell out of her.
That doesn't sound like you.
You're right, it doesn't.
I hate the stroll. It makes me so mad I could...
Easy there, Ace.
This city's changed a lot since I was a kid, Ray. It's bursting its skin in so many ways.
We'll come back tomorrow. I mean, Judy's not going anywhere. Where would she go to?
Take me home. I'm a monster movie addict. When we were little kids, it was my brother who wanted to be a cop. Me? The monster. I wanted to be the monster they had to call the Air Force out to defeat, to shoot me down off the Calgary Tower, my father leading the troops, calling off the attack at the last moment. I should probably go see a shrink. Maybe I should give Ray a call, invite him back over. What time is it? Midnight. And do what, play tiddlywinks? I'm not gonna sleep, though. I'm worried for Judy. If something happens to her, I'll never forgive myself.
Hi, Judy.
Oh, you scared me. I didn't see you coming, Tanis.
Hey, I thought you were going to the coast already.
Where's the Jack tonight?
I don't know. I haven't seen him since last night.
Did you see him after he drove off with that old man last night?
What old man?
When's the last time you had something to eat, Judy? You look pallid.
Let's go for a sandwich and have a long talk.
Why?
Because I know you're upset about something.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Please.
I'm fine.
Okay. So, a few nights ago, that old guy drives up and he asks me out. So, I drive around the block and he parks and he asks me what my name is. Judy. And he goes, I want to give you something, Judy. Here. And he hands me an envelope. And it's full of tennis. I couldn't even count it all. It made me dizzy to look at the numbers. I didn't know what to say.
What did he say?
He said it was a gift to help me get off the street. He said he would help me in any way I needed to get a brand new start in life. And then he wrote his phone number down on the envelope.
What did you do with the money?
This is stupid, I know. I told the Jack what happened, and he took it all. He didn't give me any of it. And then he noticed the phone number on the envelope, and he gets this gleam in his eye, and he goes, call the guy up. Say I found the money, and I took it all from you. Say you need some more. Say you want to buy your freedom from me and start a new life for yourself. Say you're desperate. And I go, I don't know if I can pretend that, Jack. And he goes, Ken. And then... he hits me in the eye, and he goes, there. That'll prove to him how desperate you are.
Right. Oh,
I was so nervous. I kept getting the numbers all backwards. But finally he answered, and he seemed really concerned for me. He said he'd come by the next night, and he does. He picks me up, and he goes, this is for your future, Judy. Hide it. The man won't find it. I believe in you, Judy. But it wasn't more money, Tanis. It was a key to a locker at the Greyhound bus depot.
What did you tell the Jack?
I said the guy was a creepster after all, and he wouldn't give me any more money.
What did he say?
Nothing. He got that look in his eyes again, and then he went to the phone booth, and he took out the envelope with the phone number on it, and I hear him go, that's right, old man. I'm not lying to you. I want $10,000. Night, same time, same place, or I'll kill Judy and throw her in the river.
And that was last night when the man came by and the Jack got into the car with him.
That's right.
What was in the locker, Judy?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
I went there, but I couldn't get the key to work. It was the right number, but it wouldn't fit.
Where's the key?
I lost it.
Oh, Judy.
I did.
What was the locker number?
81. Why are you so interested in all of this?
Because I like you. Because I want to help you.
Can I go to the coast with you?
Look, Judy, I have to tell you a couple of things. The first one is that the old man, his name was Russell Rutledge, and he's dead now.
Did the Jack kill him?
That's what I'm trying to find out. And this next thing is hard for me, Judy. Even harder than telling you about Rutledge. That I'm a cop.
I lost you like a sister, Tanis.
Judy, don't run away. I'm not going to shake you down.
I'll go back to the depot with you.
I chase her for a couple of blocks, but she knows the neighborhood better. I lose her down the alley behind the hotel. It's like she runs into black and just vanishes. So I go to the Greyhound bus depot. I'm thinking she might have lied to me about losing the key. I find the locker. The key's in the lock and the locker's empty. I toss and turn in bed all night. I dream I'm clinging to the Calgary Tower with airplanes buzzing around me and I'm shouting at the top of my lungs, Daddy! Daddy! It's noon the next day. I feel like hell. I'm at Caruso's waiting for Ray.
What are you grinning about?
Guess whose body they dragged out of the river this morning.
Say the Jack.
The Jack?
Where'd they find him?
Down from the zoo at the Weir. His skull was cracked open.
The Jack was extorting Rutledge.
How do you know?
I went back and talked to Judy after you dropped me off. The Jack told Rutledge he'd kill her if he didn't come through with $10,000.
Why? What was their relationship?
Rutledge was a caretaker. It's a metaphor, Donaldson.
You've got to stop going against procedures, Ace. Off-duty uniforms don't go sticking their noses into cases without orders. You'll get a suspension, sure as hell. There's going to be an inquest, and you're the reporting officer. Be ready.
Right.
You look awful. Didn't you sleep well?
I remember the day I decided to be a cop, Ray. I was up in that place at the top of the Calgary Tower. I was meeting my dad for lunch. We hadn't seen each other for more than a year. My life had been going backwards. I was 18 years old, and I...
What's the matter?
Backwards.
Eh?
Kathleen Mary McLean was 18 years old when she went to be with the Lord.
What?
Russell Rutledge lived in apartment 18.
You're losing me, Ace. Where are you going?
It's all in the way you look at things, Ray. Judy didn't lie to me about losing the locker key. She really did. And of course it didn't fit. When she gets really nervous, her eyes play tricks. She saw the number on the locker key backwards. Either that or I might get arrested. Open wide, Mr. Locke. Say ah. Bingo. I take the gym bag out of my locker and go to my car. It's full of money, lots of it. Life savings, I suppose. There's also a letter in the gym bag and an 8x10 frame photograph. The letter is for Judy, and the photograph is of a girl who bears such a striking resemblance to her, it takes my breath away. And so does the letter. Dear Judy, my name is Russell Rutledge.
I only know your name because you told me, and I don't even know if that's your real name. I drive past you every day, though, going home from work. I'm a caretaker of a school, and I've saved all of this money, and it's yours to do with what you want, and I hope you choose wisely. You don't have to worry about the man anymore, because I'm going to take care of him for you, and you don't have to think about me afterwards, because I'll be gone too. Judy... A long time ago, I caused something terrible to happen, which has haunted me ever since. And I must find the courage now to redeem myself, to give something back to the world. I beg you to get on a bus and start a new life. The pretty young lady you see in the photograph was about your age when she died. And I loved her very much. Let her be your guardian angel. Yours truly, Russell Rutledge.
I walk down the river to the weir where they pulled the Jack out. There's a sluiceway there for drawing debris from in front of the head and pushing it to the edge of the river. It's amazing what kind of stuff you can find there. Homeless people are sometimes seen here finding things for survival. And there it is, a baseball bat. It has Ramsey Elementary printed on it, and it's cracked. I leave it there. At the inquest, I reveal what I know about the extortion plot between Rutledge and the Jack. There's motive for murder both ways, but no certainty. The bag and the money get entered as evidence, and the case gets shelved until Judy is found. What I don't reveal is Rutledge's letter to Judy and the photograph of Kathleen Mary McLean, and I'm not ever going to. Not to anyone. I trace the name and Rutledge's past comes forward. He's a school teacher in a small town in New Brunswick. His very first job. He falls in love with one of his grade 12 students, Kathleen. She gets pregnant from him and jumps off a bridge out of shame. Rutledge moves out west, betroths his grief, takes up the mop, and begins his lonely penitence. He finally finds Judy. It doesn't take long. In Vancouver, dead from a drug overdose. The case gets filed under ongoing unsolved, and I'm trying to convince the authorities to donate Rutledge's money in both of their names to an organization devoted to getting underage prostitutes off the street. I've all suspended. I was just today, and right now I'm walking along the river, and I'm going to cry or scream or punch something in about 3 seconds. My heart is a big fistful of what-ifs, and I really wonder if I'm cut out for this job. Have to try, though. That's my nature.
This has been Episode 1 of Bailey's Way by Gordon Pengilly. Simply Judy, starring Esther Purvis-Smith as Tanis Bailey. Lindsay Burns played Judy. Terry Belville was the Jack. Les Carlson played Rutledge. And Grant was Donaldson. With them were David Lorraine as Kate Newby as the neighbor woman, Donna Belville as Mrs. Tetley, Grant Reddick as the coroner, and Bruce Parkhouse as the manager. The music was in the hands of 4 Score and 7, featuring Dave Hamilton, Phil Hall, Neil Bentley, Tom Moon, Ray McCandrew, Keith Flowen, and Miles Jackson. The recording engineer was Bob Doble, who also created the sound effects. The program was produced and directed in Calgary by Marty Fishman.